The drive had narrowed to a trail of dog bones that led the Broncos into Cleveland's scary municipal stadium.
Maybe this is what we've been working for a long time. Let's go out and have some fun, and let's get at them from the start. Let's cover this kickoff, get some field position.
Defense set the beat. Cleveland opened the score, but when opportunity knocked,
turnover defense! Turnover!
Denver's defense answered.
Pick it off.
Interceptions by Ricky Hunley and Jim Ryan, number 50, took the ball out of the hands of Bernie Kosar and put it squarely into the hands of John Elway. In spite of a painfully sprained ankle, number 7 courageously marched the Broncos to their first touchdown. On fourth down, Gerald Wilhite went airborne from the 1 to give Denver the lead. By the fourth quarter, the game was locked in a 13-13 dogfight. But after 3.5 quarters of defensive brilliance, one play threatened to send Denver's Super Bowl hopes crashing to earth. With barely 5 minutes to play, Cleveland took a 20-13 lead. The Broncos had lost. The Browns had won. It seemed just that simple. And whatever hopes Denver had of a comeback seemed to vanish on the following kickoff.
They were getting ready to kick off, and you're down by 7 points, and you know you got to get it in the end zone, and you only got about 5 minutes to do that. You're thinking of the best play if you get good field position. You always assume you'll get the ball out at least around the 20-yard line. So I was thinking about the play at that particular time. All of a sudden, they kick off, and now the ball's on the 2-yard line. Well, you know, the good Lord looks after you because you don't have any plays that you can call on the two. So, yeah, I could make a decision real quick.
Go 95 play.
And the Broncos are 98 yards away from where they need to go. Still 5 minutes to go, but they need something out of this drive.
It was kind of a nervous feeling knowing, you know, what was at stake. And we're just all standing in the huddle, and there was a timeout, and you look out the back of the end zone, and all the cameras and photographers and everybody was aimed right in our huddle.
Bronco guard Keith Bishop.
I just said to the other offensive linemen, the people in the huddle, you know, we had them right where we wanted them.
That was just so neat. You know, it kind of helps you to relax as everybody goes in the huddle. They're like, oh, man, we got to go 98 yards. You know, this is it. This could be the end of the season after coming so far. And he comes up with something like that.
Everyone had so much character in the huddle at that time. John Elway came up to the huddle saying, we can make things happen. You know, we're going to make things work. So when you have a quarterback saying that, an offensive line saying that, you have a tendency to feel confident in ourselves.
Every great athlete needs a moment that separates him from the rest. And for John Elway, that moment arrived with 5 minutes and 44 seconds remaining against the Browns. Into a 5-degree wind chill, and with nearly 80,000 fans barking Denver's doom, Elway stood 98 yards away from greatness.
I never thought that anyone in the huddle doubted that we could do it. We walked in knowing that it was a do-or-die situation and that there was nothing else. Either go to the Super Bowl or we're going home, and we got a chance to do it on this drive, and it was just a matter of getting out of the where we got some breathing room.
Johnson left. Elway in the end zone and throwing it. It's complete. Winder dives out to the 7-yard line.
All right, 7, baby! All right!
Elway's dropped the play fake. Runs up in the pocket. Running left. Johns across the 20 and out to the 26-yard line. Has the first down.
Come on, guys! Come on! Stick it to him, baby! Stick it to him!
3 minutes to go. Elway to pass on first down. The pass for Sewell. Got it and keeps it at the 48-yard line, and was he hammered.
When Steve Sewell caught the pass and put us about midfield, I thought then that we had an excellent chance because we still had plenty of time.
15 wide right.
And whenever you get in that position, you know, you feel like that you can go 40 or 50 yards to score in that short a period of time.
Denver was on such a roll that even the anxious moments only added to the drama.
Elway running up in the pocket and sacked at the 48-yard line.
That's it.
Broncos may have to spend a timeout here. They will. They have one timeout left. They are at the Cleveland 48-yard line. Snap to Elway, and Elway's pass is coming and caught. Mark Jackson, first down at the Cleveland 27-yard line.
I had to go 20 yards down the field. And I had the whole time in my mind that I was going to run the route as fast as possible because of the pressure that they were getting on John. When I broke, the ball was there. John just drilled it in.
Elway had entered the magic realm that few athletes enter. He was doing whatever he wanted, and the Browns were merely spectators to their own fate. Cleveland head coach Marty Schottenheimer.
I don't think blitzing him would necessarily have changed what transpired because number seven with the ball in his hand got on a roll. John, as the great quarterbacks will do, got hot.
Elway was running in the footsteps of Unitas, Starr, and Montana.
Come on, Johnny!
As he ran, passed, and coaxed the Broncos to the Cleveland 5-yard line.
42 seconds to go. Broncos at the Cleveland 5. Third down and a yard. The snap to Elway. The look. The throw. Touchdown! The Mark Jackson 98.5-yard drive.
Elway's rocket capped the single most significant drive in Denver Broncos history and was one of the most impressive drives in championship history. 98 yards in 15 plays against the wind, the clock, and nearly 80,000 dog bone tossing fans.
So much of a lift for me, especially scoring in that end zone where the guys were throwing the bones. One bone hit me in particular on the elbow, and it hurt pretty bad. And I don't know if you've ever gotten hit by a bone from the eighth row, but I was thinking about that the whole game, you know. When I scored, I don't usually jeer at the crowd, but I had to give them a little bit of my happiness, and of course they responded.
Elway proved beyond the shadow of a doubt that he had the heart to equal his talent. And when the game spilled into overtime, the Broncos proved they had the heart of a champion.
They don't score. They don't win.
They don't win. That's right.
You got to do it. You got to find it somewhere.
On three plays, Denver turned back Cleveland's only possession, giving the ball back to Elway. The rest is, as they say, history.
Elway dropping on second down, getting some blitz and throwing it up the right side. Mobley across the 50. Now you hear the crowd. Third and 12 at the 50. Steps up in the pocket, and here comes the pressure. John's on the run. He's at the 50. Throws the ball upfield. Fingertip catch at the Cleveland 22-yard line by Watson.
After 6 months of dreaming, Super Bowl reality rode on the foot of place kicker Rich Carlos.
Come on, baby. Come on. Come on, baby.
This will be a 32-yard try to win it in overtime. Ball is down. Carlos's kick is on the way. And it is gone. The Denver Broncos have come from behind to win it in overtime on a 32-yard field goal by the now submerged Rich Carlos, who is swarmed under by his teammates at the 27. And this time, folks, it is no miracle. The Broncos are going to the Super Bowl because they earned the trip. Final score, Denver 23, Cleveland 20.
In 1986, the Denver Broncos electrified the NFL with one of the most memorable championship chases in the 67-year history of the league. They were a team of special men who created magic moments that will last for a lifetime. And though they weren't able to achieve their ultimate dream of a world championship, the entire Bronco organization will always be dedicated to achieving this distinction.